I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hey everybody, welcome into a new episode of The Memo for Wednesday, July the 19th. Yes, the 19th of July. That's right, Chris, right? Yes, the 19th?
That's right.
I'm getting old and I get my days mixed up.
It's the 19th.
Okay, good. Derek, how are you doing?
Start keeping up with that so you'll know when what days you have to take your medication on.
That's every day.
When you take your medication?
Every day.
Well, that's good.
Just kidding. I'm not on any medication.
Explain a few, well, then I'm that not really does on medication explain a few things.
Anymore. Okay. Yeah, it does. Figured out why I'm getting fat, though. It's my boss's fault, according to this PR release I just got. Your boss is making you fat.
Because he brought in all the breakfast food this morning?
He did, though, didn't he? Rod brought in, it's all Rod's fault. He brought in a bunch of delicious, possibly fattening breakfast food for the 9 o'clock meeting as he handed out awards that we won from the Mississippi Press Association contest.
I believe that happens once a year. I don't know that you can really blame your boss on getting you fat.
Derek was a winner, by the way.
He was.
I forget which award, or I'd say it.
I know you got second for general interest column. What else did you get?
That would be
awesome. Okay. Okay. Well, there you go. You seem to win every year for your column writing.
No. That's not true at all.
Columns are generally interesting.
Indeed.
Mildly. Is this the new category that they're introducing this year? Mildly. Interesting. You don't place. It's just a participation trophy.
Everybody gets one.
Judge's comment, I did not fall asleep during this column. No. I didn't win nothing.
Gold star. Just a thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Emoji on the gold star.
Nice.
Yep.
Cool. What's happening?
No, I don't know. You tell me.
I think my house is still haunted.
Oh, yeah?
Any more sightings?
I was working. It was Sunday or Monday morning early. I was working like I do at my desk in the office / sewing room. It's mostly a sewing room. It's my wife's fabric is everywhere. Early in the morning, everybody's still in bed. And then something fell to the floor. And I went to check it out. And it looked like it, best I could tell, it was a small little plastic cylindrical container. It was empty. It had fallen off, I'm not sure what, but there's, these plastic sets of drawers you can get at Walmart, kind of cheap. There's a set of those with the drawers taken out sitting on its side. I think that's where it fell from. So probably, it was on an unstable resting spot and maybe a draft caught it. I don't know. But then this morning, I thought I heard someone in the kitchen because I thought my kids aren't up this early on in the summer.
I mean, if it goes,
but I did bring donuts home. I got up and got donuts early this morning. I thought maybe they smelled them and went to get them, but nobody was in there.
If a ghost is going to be there, at least it can do is make breakfast.
Yeah, right?
Like bacon. Rod didn't even bring bacon today. I asked for it specifically. Did not bring bacon. So what's going on today with the show? Who we got?
Me.
We do have you.
Mm-hmm. And you're lucky to have me. I almost walked out this morning.
Why?
The donuts weren't from Scarlett's.
There's no bacon.
What is this? And just flip the,
And it left me to do the show by myself. Me like Garth when Wayne walked out.
Huh?
I'm having fun. Not. Oh, boy. We do have you on the show talking about this big Bancor South Arena story that you did. Part one of two.
Thank you.
And we'll also have Derek.
Yes.
Edit.
And then I'm also here talking about food this week.
We'll also have Bobby Harrison talking about sports betting. Jenna Parsons making a rare Wednesday appearance talking about this veggie.
No, she's out too. I'll be doing food this week.
No, she's doing
it's
this.
All me. I'm also talking about the offshore betting or.
No. Offshore betting.
Whatever it was.
Casino, sports betting.
That too, yeah.
No, but this veggie cart that raises money.
We're going to tie it in together, the betting and the veggie cart.
And then
cart.
Derek's going to talk about his photo essay.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Adam Robinson.
It's all selfies from my phone, which I never take, so.
Adam Robinson, who cleaned up with a lot of first places, by the way, in the MPA awards. He'll be on to talk about his In Focus photo essay, which might win an award itself. You never know.
The Shoeshine Man.
Just goes by Pee-wee. Like, he didn't have a last name. He gave Adam a business card that said Pee-wee on it.
Was it handwritten?
I don't know.
That'd be awesome.
It was in shoe polish.
So, it's a packed show, my friend.
Yeah. Well, you should probably quit wasting time vamping.
Buckle up. Okay.
What was that?
I don't know.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, we could just start with me, and that way we don't have to waste any more time of the people's time.
We'll start with you. You had a story the other day. That was Sunday, was it not?
Yeah.
It was Sunday.
I got it right here. On Sunday.
Bloody Sunday.
Sunday, Bloody Sunday. It's a good song. It was about the history of the...
Y'all are just like throwing bologna at the wall to see what sticks today, aren't you?
What?
What?
I don't know. Has you two ever played in Tupelo, by the way?
No, they have not.
Well, they need to.
I don't think that that's one we'll be getting.
A little too big? I mean, they got some...
A little too big.
I don't know, man. They've got some big artists. What do
you
think about
it? Here's the thing. Good segue, Brad. I know you didn't mean to, but you kind of...
Saved me.
Fell back buttwards into that one. It's only a 10,000-seat arena.
True.
So you can only price the seats so much to ensure that people are going to pay for them.
Yeah.
So, but you would need to price them a certain amount to get acts like AU2.
Yeah, true.
So,
true.
You know, you can't, you know, $170 tickets for a 10,000-seat theater. You couldn't do that.
I don't know, maybe.
For a U2? I don't think a U2 would. They'd need to sell out. And plus, I would imagine, I saw U2 once, but it was an outdoor concert. I would bet whatever setup they're using now would be taller than what the ceiling threshold would hold.
So
height is an issue at the Bancorp South Arena.
Yeah, a friend of mine went to a U2 concert last month in Tampa, and it was at the football stadium there where the Bucks play. I mean, that's a huge place. That's probably the kind of place that they have to play. Just like you said, because of their setup and just, you know, capacity and all that. But nevertheless, the Bancorp South Arena has had a lot of big-time acts still come through. Most recently, Willie Nelson, Alice Cooper.
Dwight Yoakam past weekend. Dwight Yoakam. Its 853rd event since it opened in October of 93. I was there the first night.
Were you?
I was.
Who was it?
Bill Cosby was the opening act, October 9th, 93.
Huh.
My mother and I went.
He's not going to get invited back, is he?
No.
He's been twice, right? Because he came back again.
He came back
kind of right before.
Right before the...
Yeah.
It turned ugly for him.
Well, we also had the Eagles, Aerosmith, Bob Dylan. It's interesting to read what, you know, Todd Hunt talking about, you know, what acts they bring in. And, you know, it does seem like, and maybe this is more perception than reality, like you get a lot of country acts, which makes sense. We're in Mississippi. A lot of bro country acts, but that's a whole other matter.
What is bro country?
Jason Aldean, Florida Georgia Line.
So anybody that's in designer jeans and up there?
Anybody that
with the bedazzled jeans on their rear?
I would call it fake country, but to each his own.
Okay.
To each his own.
Okay.
Okay. And but then they have other artists that I would certainly like. Like I said, Willie Nelson was there.
Sure.
Yeah, and and they got one coming that they just announced Tuesday.
Blackberry Smoke.
And the guy that
Aaron Lewis.
Stained. He used to be the lead singer of Stained, so I haven't checked him out since he went alt country.
He's country now. Yeah.
So, you know, he might be someone I'd like as well.
Yeah, that's coming up in November and... So that's another one to look forward to for folks. I think a huge part of why we're able to get the acts that we are able to get, and I say us, like I'm part of it, but
yeah,
as a community of 35,000 people with a 10,000-seat arena, you don't see that anywhere else. It's a weird thing. It's our micropolitan geography to metropolitan areas like Nashville or Birmingham or New Orleans.
And Tupelo is easy to get to right there. You got I-22 and Highway 45.
I mean, we're 80 miles from Memphis, so, you know, if they can play the FedEx Forum.
Yeah.
You know, often that doesn't happen because, again, that's 80 miles. That's an easy...
True.
A lot of ticket sales, specifically for, I know, Journey and Asia, and then also Tim McGraw and Faith Hill, a large percentage of ticket sales were bought by people more than 50, within a 50-mile.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
More than 50 miles out, excuse me. So people were coming. They flocked to Tupelo to see these shows.
You kind of wrote about the economic impact. I mean, that's where the economic impact comes
from. There's shopping. There's, you know, you see the increase on a normal night in Tupelo from hotels or restaurant sales or even, you know, downtown shopping versus a night when there's a Tim and Faith concert. It's exponentially greater.
Yeah.
The figures, I don't remember them. I don't know if you or I can try to find them.
The economic impact. Right? Last year was like $28 million,
Yeah.
And they're on track for that this year.
Well, there was a huge event last year. This always gets brought up in Coliseum Commission that skewed numbers for last year. I don't know if you remember. There was a huge Mennonite conference.
Oh, true.
It had more than 9,000 Mennonites in town for a week. that were staying and eating and, you know, everything. Mm-hmm. So that was, we've never had that before. They hope to get that back. I know the organization was very pleased with the area and with the arena. So, yeah, hopefully that will come back and increase economic impact again in a few years when that it comes time for that event again. But obviously that skewed numbers for certainly. Last year.
That's all right.
And obviously this is fiscal year to date, so the arena's fiscal year will end with September 30th of this year.
So I guess they're a little behind that, but, you know, it's a huge event.
Yeah.
Still good numbers.
One question I just want to ask real quick. I've wondered, you know, you talk about the reasons for it doing well and the location. I've heard, and I don't know if there's any truth to this, that one reason Tupelo gets a lot of concerts is because of Larry Michaels. Is it celebrity coaches that acts will come in and have him work on their bus and perform in Tupelo? Is there?
I can't speak to that. Yeah. You know, that rumor's been around for a while. Right. Yeah, that's been around for a while. I really boils down to a couple things. And geography is one of them, but the other is we have a staff that has been at this arena for years and years and years that know what they're doing and that are able to bring an axe to this area. Todd Hunt, who is the executive director now, this is his second term, I guess you'd call it, as executive director. He was here from 97 to 99 and then came back again, I think, in 2006. He left to manage the Hump in Starkville, where his dad was executive director for a number of years. So it runs in the family for him. But he's been in this industry over 20 years and knows what he's doing. And I think that you know, and you get people, you know, that, and here I'll just say it, this article got trashed online.
Really,
my story did, by a group of people that you know, well, nobody ever comes here. We don't get like Slayer, Megadeth, or, you know, all this other stuff. They'd sell out. And I'm like,
Maybe not.
You could go rent the arena and get them here and see if you can make put your money where your mouth is. But you know, that's not going to sell here. You know, obviously, I think some people remember, you know, an event like Kiss in 1996 where the event was picketed outside the arena. And we ended up on national news for things like that. It's funny how much things have changed in Tupelo. I mean, I know neither of you were from here originally.
Yeah.
When you think about that area, when that was a mall, where that was the downtown mall. Yeah. If you wanted to go JCPenney, that's where you went. And there was nothing else that way. You know, the Fair Park was a gated up area of the old fairgrounds, and there was the falling in on itself warehouse gym where all the Spain cars were that are now in the Automobile Museum that were in danger of being destroyed. Wow. And so when they tore that down to build the then Tupelo Coliseum in 93, there was nothing around there. There was no restaurants or, you know, all the stuff. You had that strip of downtown and then nothing, and then the Coliseum. So a lot has changed,
certainly,
in the area, obviously.
You had the history in your story, what it was. 88, they bought the land.
Yeah, 88, they bought the land. I forget the number off the top of my head, and bought, you know, all that acreage of Fair Park and all that to start revitalizing the area.
Bought it for nearly $3 million. Yeah. City leaders bought the building and 27 acres of land, formed a committee to study
the feasibility of economic impact of having an entertainment venue in Tupelo, Mississippi.
Now, obviously, it's worked out, and, you know, you mentioned drawing in people from outside Lee County. I think that's also sort of a Tupelo thing, at least nowadays, because you got the mall. It's like the only mall in the area. You've got the Elvis. We've always had the Elvis thing, and now it's even gotten bigger, I think. And that brings people from, you know, out of country.
Hospital.
And it does. I mean,
the hospital.
We've got one of the leading medical agencies in the state.
You know,
obviously, as I said before, our relationship to Memphis, with being only 80 miles, if somebody's going to Graceland, they're usually coming down here to the birthplace, too, if they're making that trek. So we get – you would be surprised at the number of people – you could live here your whole life and you not see certain things, but the people that are traveling here, whether it be for the furniture market or just to go to the birthplace of Elvis Presley, it's a huge – draw.
Now
we may not have some huge water park or amusement park that's bringing people in, but
All those, I've seen people talking about that now and then. That'll come up. We need a water park.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't know.
So it's just cool to think that while they are very specific things that might not impact everyone, the impact of those specific things does impact everyone. You know, by bringing the people here and filling hotels and eating and dining in restaurants and doing the shopping. And this is just another cog, a very large cog in the wheel.
And what's really good is that they continue to invest in the upkeep and updating of the arena. In fact, they're going to shut down next month to do some work, aren't they?
Yeah. So last week, crews began ripping out the pull-out risers. Those are the floor risers, the lower bowl. They are original to the building. They were installed in 93. So there's 11 or 12 sections, I guess 12, that fold out from the wall and all the seats just pop up, those bottom. And they're getting to the point where they don't want to pop up anymore. I mean, people have been sitting in them for 93 years. The fabric's wearing out on them. The plastic's wearing out on them.
Yeah.
It's the same seating in the higher bowl, but those are always standing up. There's not the wear and tear of people folding the seats down always like there are on the bottom. So those have now been removed to make room for larger, more comfortable seating that will be installed in August, and that will take several weeks. So the arena will be shutting down internally, the main portion for that time period. And it's funny, I saw people, again, talking like, well, of course they're shut down. They don't have a concert. Well, just because the arena doesn't have a concert doesn't mean they're closed. There's usually, in a calendar year, about around 500 events happening, whether it's inside the arena or the conference center next door.
Yeah, I mean, there's always something. It's not just music and such. I mean, you got the ice skating.
There's always something going on.
The Mennonite Conference.
They just had a three-day wedding this past weekend.
Wow.
Yeah.
At the arena.
Yeah, that conference center, I mean, that's a recent addition. That's been a huge boon.
It was part of the Hilton, obviously. They felt that things could be done better if the arena was managed, and so the city bought it. Arena has now been handling that since 2014, I believe, and that has greatly increased the amount of events that they handle. It pretty much doubled their workload by doing that. But they were able to go after more things because of the addition, because they were so limited on space the arena side.
We held our spring sports banquet there a few weeks ago, in fact. Or winter spring sports banquet.
Yes. Yeah.
And I was going to say, like, we've obviously been live on location there. The Career Expo is one of the events that, uses both areas.
Right. Yeah, it's obviously now in its second year. This was the second year.
It'll be going in.
And obviously you see how huge that is, bringing people in. There's nowhere else, save for maybe the furniture market, there's nowhere else that you could do something like that in Tupelo. And even then, it's hard to do some of the things that you can do. Obviously, we talked about that ceiling threshold earlier. We're limited on some things, like a Garth Brooks concert, maybe a little too tall for the arena. But
yeah, Garth likes to swing from the rafters. Maybe I don't know if he does now. Yeah. Maybe too old for that.
But I don't know. You know, we were talking about that. About there's two concerts that are kind of the Moby Dick, the white whale of the arena that Todd has always said we'll never be able to get, but for some reason, but always try to. And that one is Garth Brooks, and the other is Jimmy Buffett. And has not worked out thus far. I don't know why we can't get Jimmy Buffett, Mississippi guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, Mac, I think his state ties.
Haven't been able to do it, so don't understand that one. Garth, now that he's not in Vegas anymore, I don't know a whole lot about Garth Brooks. I just know he's in Vegas. He's back out touring. To make his mint, he'll go to a place like Memphis and do four nights in a row. And it'll sell out every night. Like he did three nights at the FedEx Forum October, maybe November of last year in Memphis. Did three nights in a row, sold out, cleaned up. He'd move on to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you make the money there.
Exactly.
But FedEx Forum holds a lot more. They can also sell the tickets for a lot more in a place like Tupelo, Mississippi at the Bancorp South Arena with 10,000 seats. He would have to perform like six nights or six or seven nights to do what he did in the FedEx Forum.
It's Garth Week.
Two or three. Yeah. It's like Shark Week.
But no one does.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Well, the guy that went to every concert, we're worried about him, but he's holding on.
But this is
Michael Phelps going to race Garth Brooks?
Yeah. My money's on Garth.
don't underestimate Garth. If you ever seen one of his live shows, I haven't been to one, but I've seen them. You know, now that was back in the day. I don't know if he, like I said, if he does all the swinging around now. He's all over the place. He was. He's a pretty athletic guy. Remember when he tried out for the Padres?
Right.
back in the day, went to spring training with the Padres.
I just remember Chris Gaines. That's my claim to fame memory.
I had a CD of Chris Gaines.
Well, you had the CD because he didn't do another one.
I got rid of it.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, that was. An experiment gone bad.
I just remember he hosted SNL as Garth Brooks and was the musical guest as Chris Gaines in the same episode.
Wow, I missed that one.
Actually, a pretty good episode, if memory serves. But anyway, all that to say, that's a hard one to get for here. So, but I mean, they've done really well. Aerosmith's been here twice. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Jimmy Page, Robert Plant.
You've had half a Led Zeppelin on the stage.
There you go.
Bob Dylan's been here a couple times. I mean, so it's nothing to sneer at.
No, not at all.
When you think about it, Alice Cooper was just here. That was awesome to me. I went to that one. That was a great one of the best shows I've seen in that arena, and I've been to. Probably out of 853, I've probably been to 775 of them over the years. I grew up in that building.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's near and dear to my heart.
So you've got a part two coming. You're going to have another story August 6th.
We went over the past and then Sunday's issue, we'll go over the future next, see what's happening for the next 5 years, getting up to the 30th anniversary of the arena.
Cool. Well, good stuff.
There's some surprises within.
Can't wait. Within the story, you're going to break some stuff? Scoopage?
Well, a little bit. A little prank.
Okay.
I'm doing okay.
Want to get Jim Gaffigan in here? Maybe.
No, we need a comedian.
Dave Chappelle.
It's time for a comedian.
You seen Chappelle's new Netflix episode? Special? Yeah. It's pretty good.
Todd actually just went and saw Chappelle at a new theater in Atlanta. This is interesting. It didn't work into the story, obviously, but... There are some things that I'm segueing. There are some things discussing about the arena, including security, because security is a known issue now. He just recently went to Australia
to
teach a class a while back. And, you know, so that's active shooter is not something you worry about in Australia like it is in the United States. So they're talking about implementing some metal detectors and things. But
sure.
He went to the Coca-Cola Roxy Theater, I believe is the name of it, in Atlanta. It's brand new, just opened, to see Chappelle. Chappelle was the opening act. And when you go in, if you have your cell phone, which mine is going off right now apparently, if you go in and you have your cell phone, they give you, the only way I can describe it from what he described it to me as, is like a bank bag. You know, a bank bag, you put money in and put it in the deposit thing, zip it up. They give you a bag the size of your phone, and you... zip it and they lock it and they keep the key and you keep the bag and you cannot have your device out to film or video or take pictures. If you have an emergency, you have to get up and leave the concourse and head out to the concourse and have them unlock it and talk. Now, alternatively, you can just leave your phone in your car and you wouldn't have to do anything like that.
True.
But if you want your phone on you, it has to be locked up at all times where you cannot access it.
Interesting.
That is obviously not something we're going to worry about here, I don't think, ever. But, you know, that's just, you think about how long that would take to get people in the door to have to do that. That's one thing to wand somebody, but to sit there and lock up their phone the whole time. But that's
a security thing?
It
would be safer to let people have their phones.
It's also the acts, you know, that they don't want, you know, Chappelle doesn't want video of, you know, his act leaking out.
require that. It's in the rider
or
whatever.
Yeah, it's in their rider that you have to do that. So it's a big deal now.
Interesting.
And stuff you didn't have to worry about 15 years ago. So as technology has advanced with, you know, even with the introduction of social media and the things you can post online, it's become more of an issue.
Just bring a second cell phone.
Well, they're patting you down, Brad. I don't think you understand. No. The wand is going to go off.
Okay, I got you. Well, you can find this first part of this series, I guess you can call it. Two-part series. The first part was in Sunday's Journal and
it's
djournal.com.
It's a two-parter. It's a
two-part question. Okay. All right. Cool. Good stuff, Derek.
Thank you.
Hey, look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. And also, Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release new episodes each Thursday in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and the Rebels. Listen to that for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. Logan is off this week, but guess what? I'm guest co-hosting. This will be me and Parrish.
Look at.
So you get me on the prep rally, on the memo, and on Double Coverage this week. All the Brad you could possibly want, Derek.
Happy unsubscribe week to all our listeners.
And for even more Brad, you can wake up and get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's News Break. A quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else in Northeast Mississippi in a five-minute video. Shows will be posted every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. You can watch them for free at any time at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. Stay informed on the latest happenings in your community in an easily digestible format.
Let's go down to Jackson and visit with our Capitol Bureau Chief, Bobby Harrison. How you doing, Bobby?
Brad, how you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. Let's talk about sports betting and the possibility of it coming to Mississippi and the casinos, namely. There was some legislation passed during the 2017 session dealing with fantasy sports. But apparently, Bobby, this could also, according to some, open the door for legalizing sports betting in Mississippi, depending on a Supreme Court ruling. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right, Brad. Right now, it's important to remember that sports betting, which is banned in just about every state except for four or five, I forget. You know, the primary place that it occurs, of course, is Las Vegas.
Yeah.
But there's a Supreme Court the Supreme Court's going to hear arguments about on this issue in the fall, whether the federal government has the right to ban sports betting in individual states. And so they hear those arguments and rule sometimes in 2018. Now, the Supreme Court decided to hear this case in June of just about a month ago or so. But during the 2017 session, as you said, the legislature passed a bill to legalize fantasy sports and to put the regulation of fantasy sports under the Mississippi Gaming Commission. And passing that bill, the language that would also, according to most everybody, would also legalize sports betting at casinos in Mississippi. So if the Supreme Court decision goes the way of the states and the federal law is struck down, then Mississippi would be in position to have fantasy sports betting at the casinos in along the Mississippi River and on the Gulf of Mexico.
Now the Supreme Court is hearing this, possibly overturning this federal law because of a New Jersey case, correct?
That's right. And of course, you know, Mississippi, interestingly enough, Attorney General Jim Hood has filed a printed the court over, papers in support of New Jersey's position that it's a state issue, not a federal issue. So that's also an interesting point.
Yeah, it's true. It'd be interesting to see what kind of economic impact that would have. Bob, as you mentioned, it would be in the state's casinos along the Mississippi River and down on the Gulf Coast. And, you look at like the NCAA tournament, for instance, that's something you'd see people come in and stay for a while at the casinos and be in those areas for a good many days.
Right. You know, there's a tremendous amount of bets placed on the Super Bowl in January. And experts tell me that's a slow time for Mississippi casinos anyway. So that could generate some foot traffic for the casinos if this does come to fruition. And Brad, we should point out, not miss the point, that hardly anybody passed when the bill was being passed. The issue of sports betting wasn't even brought up as the bill was being passed. Nobody knew what they were voting on. I think the people who handled the bill, the members of the gaming committee in the House and the people in the Senate who handled the bill, they say the sports betting was not on the radar because at the time they knew that federal law prevented any state from having authorizing betting in sports betting in casinos, And it, you go back and look at the press reports at the time, the conventional wisdom was that the Supreme Court wasn't going to take up this New Jersey case, that the issue was dead. So in fairness to them, some people were saying they tried to sneak it in the back door, and that's what's is going to happen. But it doesn't appear that that was their intention. And as I wrote earlier this week, if the legislature is going to have time to revisit this issue probably before the Supreme Court.
Yeah, probably not going to rule on this until early spring. Of course, the legislature will convene in January, so I'm sure they'll be able to iron things out on this, Bobby. But do you think any idea on how much support sports betting would have here in the state?
That's a good question. There's a sizable number of legislators that's going to vote against anything related to gambling. There was I need to go back and look, but there's a large number of legislators who voted against the bill when they just thought it was going to deal with fantasy sports, because they view that as a form of gambling, and interestingly enough, the attorney generals throughout the state states do too. So they view that as a form of gambling. They didn't want to to legalize. So I could see this being an issue in the 2018 session, and my guess would be that it would remain on the books. Mississippi could have sports betting, but I think that would be I think that'd be a heated debate.
Most certainly. So just something else to keep an eye on come January. You can read this story in Tuesday's edition, also at djournal.com. Bobby, as always, thanks for your time, sir.
All right. Thanks, Brad. Y'all have a good day.
You too. And for more from Bobby, you can check out the Capital View webcast each Monday afternoon. It goes live about 2 o'clock at djournal.com as Bobby gives us insight and commentary on all the issues being debated in Jackson. Of course, the legislative session is now over, but still plenty for Bobby to talk about, like this sports betting issue. So check it out again Monday afternoons at 2 o'clock. If you miss it live, catch the replay later in the day at djournal.com. And making a special Wednesday appearance, it's Jenna Parsons, food editor. Jenna, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. We get to talk to you twice this week.
Yes.
That's a treat.
Yes, Wednesday and Friday.
Nice. And we're talking to you today because you had this cool story about the vegetable cart over in the Joyner neighborhood. They call it the Joyner Market, I guess.
Yes.
Jerry Thompson started this last summer, and it went so well that decided to do it again, didn't he?
He did. He's always grown vegetables in his backyard and enough for himself and then for neighbors, but it sort of got out of control. I mean, if you went in Jerry's backyard and you saw these tomato plants that are 9 feet tall, and I don't mean one or two, I mean dozens of them. He was just overrun.
Yeah.
So he thought, he's very involved in the Joyner community and partnered with the backpack ministry that's at First United Methodist Church. And what that does is, and I have to step aside here and say that when I was working on this story, I called Kathy Grace, who is kind of over the backpack ministry.
Yeah.
And she said that she is surprised every day by how many people in this community don't believe that there are children right here in our neighborhoods, on our streets, in our schools, that go hungry, that don't have food to eat.
Yeah.
And so especially, if you've got kids that are in that sort of situation during the school year, they can get free lunches at school. So they can get breakfast and lunch every day. But when summertime hits, they don't have food. And so some of the cafeterias open up for them to eat.
Sure.
But during the school year, they get fed during the day, but on the weekends, there's no guarantee that they're going to eat.
Yeah.
So this backpack ministry, they collect money and they pack weekends food for the kids to eat. It's not a lot of food, but it's so that they get food every day, maybe a peanut butter sandwich and a banana and an apple and some nabs, just so that they have food.
Sure, yeah. And it did pretty well last summer. He raised about $400, and off to a good start this summer.
Yes, the $400 went, he gave it to Joyner School, because that's the one that's in the neighborhood, and then Joyner gave it to the church, and so the money was earmarked specifically for the kids at Joyner, but there are other schools in Tupelo, and possibly even Lee County, that that benefit from this. But yes, so far, the day that we went to talk with Jerry last week, just that one day, there was, I don't remember, $93, $97 in the honor box. And that's just one day's take.
Yeah. And the setup is, he's got the stand there with the various vegetables and whatnot in an honor box, like you said. Just put in however much you feel you want to.
Right. He lives on Long Street. And so the little cart's in his front yard. If the umbrella's up, that means he's got vegetables. He has tomatoes, cucumbers, herbs and flowers, and then anyone who has extra vegetables that they want to donate to the cart, welcome to drop it off. And then people go and get what they want. I believe it's take what you need and leave what you can.
Sure.
So you might pick up two tomatoes and leave $1, or you might pick up two tomatoes and leave $5 or $10, just whatever you feel led to leave. But none of it goes back to Jerry. It all goes toward this backpack ministry.
It's really cool, and it's open. I mean, like from 7:30 in the morning to what, 9 at night?
9 at night when he gets ready to go to bed. He takes the umbrella down and brings in whatever's still left.
Wow, yeah, that's a really cool deal. And like you said, also, I mean, all those vegetables you mentioned, plus the herbs and the flowers. So you got some variety there. It's kind of cool.
Yes, if you want herbs, you have to bring your own scissors, BYOS, and go in the backyard. And he has 9 or 10 different herbs growing, and so you just snip. Oh, cool. Snip what you like, but the flowers that he's growing, this is the first year. This was a couple of ladies in the neighborhood suggested that he might do flowers, and so he's done zinnias and cleome, and that's the Latin term, I guess. A lot of people call them cat whiskers or grandpa's whiskers, but they're a very pretty flower. But and so if he's got some of those, he puts them in vases of water on the cart, and you can go and grab a few flowers and take what you need and leave what you can.
And, of course, with something like this, and you mentioned this toward the end of the story, you know, some of his friends are worried about him getting ripped off, people just taking vegetables and not leaving any money. I don't know if it's possible for them to try to get the money. I would hope not. But, you know,
they would have to pretty much take the whole cart because the honor box is nailed down to the cart.
Gotcha. But, you know, I like the way he said, you know, it's just part of the message. You offer trust.
Right.
Yeah.
And he said, I've got everything I need. If they steal the food from me, they need it.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's kind of the point, is getting people what they need.
He's a great guy. I've done several stories on him before. There was a young woman in the Joyner neighborhood whose home was badly damaged in the tornado. Mm-hmm. And when she got ready to redo it, her insurance company only paid for so much. And one thing that it didn't pay for were new shutters. Hmm. And so she mentioned to a friend in the Joyner neighborhood that she had seen some shutters on a website or somewhere. And the friend showed the picture to Jerry, and unbeknownst to the young woman, Jerry would sneak over there during the day and measure her windows. And while she was out of town one weekend, he made shutters for her whole house out of reclaimed wood from the tornado.
Wow.
And when she got home, there were shutters and flower boxes made out of reclaimed wood that he put up for and didn't even know her. He didn't even know her. He just knew that she didn't have shutters on her house. I mean, who does that?
That's really cool.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, sounds like it. Well, that's a really cool story, too, here from Tuesday's paper. You can, of course, find it at djournal.com. And Jenna, always a pleasure, and we'll see you again on Friday.
Thank you.
We regret to inform you that Adam Robinson could not join us today. You know, he won all those awards from the NBA. I think he kind of big-timed us here. No, he's actually out on assignment getting some photos done for the football section that's coming out next month.
Yeah, when does that come out?
I believe the season starts the 18th, so probably the 13th, that Sunday. That's just my guess. That's unofficial.
Can't believe it's that time of year almost.
That's again, like though. 3.5 weeks away. Yeah, I know. So, yeah, look for that in coming weeks as we put out that preview section covering all the local high school football programs, as well, of course, Ole Miss and Mississippi State. But, yeah, we'll try to get Adam in here another time.
Yeah, we'll try to get him on Friday's show.
Yeah, there we go.
If his schedule allows.
And that's when we'll be back on Friday to possibly visit with Adam. We'll certainly have Jenna Parsons here to talk food, Scott Morris to offer his latest movie review, and Derek telling us what's happening on the local entertainment scene. Speaking of local entertainment, I hear Young Valley is coming back to Blue Canoe Thursday. I might go check them out again. I enjoyed them the first time I saw them. Good band from down in Jackson, I think. So
yeah,
there you go. Go check them out. All right, that's it, Derek. We're done, buddy.
Bye.
Can I call you buddy?
No.
You can call me Al.
Al.
Okay.
All right. My bodyguard.
No?
Can be your
no,
mom.
No singing. Sorry. We'll be back on Friday.
I can call you Betty.
We'll see you next time. Thanks.
Betty, if you call me.